Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. Our next guests are here to preview tomorrow night's Comedy for a Cause. Please welcome Crystal Borland. She's the NAMI Juno Executive Director. We also have Tom Cosgrove, one of the MCs tomorrow night and a storyteller, and Matt Vogel, comedian, in for the show, mental health innovator, TED speaker, among other things. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thanks,
Great
Scott.
To be here.
Thanks, Scott.
Nice to have you here. Crystal Borland, can you set us up with some details about tomorrow?
Absolutely. So this is our annual fundraiser for NAMI Juno. We're a mental health education, advocacy, and support organization. And we've been doing Comedy Cause for about 6 years now. So we're really excited to, each year we kind of change it up a little bit. And this year we're bringing in Matt Vogel. So he's going to do some comedy along with some mental health information. And then we have some local storytellers as well. So Tom Cosgrove has gotten some great folks to join us for the second half of the show. And we're going to be over at the Jack. So tomorrow, 6:30 is when the doors open and the event starts at 7. So we hope folks will come out. We still have tickets available.
And I think we all know about NAMI Juno, but can you tell us a few things about what you do?
Sure. So we offer a different programming like classes and support groups. We're really trying to help folks access illness management strategies and different resources. We work a lot with families and caregivers who are supporting a loved one. And we have, like I said, support groups and classes. And we also do some advocacy work. So ensuring that the voices of people who are impacted by mental illness are really impacting our system here.
Okay. MC Tom Cosgrove, tell us about how you know Matt and some of the other people he will be joined by tomorrow evening.
Well, how I know Matt is from many, many years ago. We both were in a juggling circle in St. Louis, Missouri. And I probably haven't seen him since he started shaving.
Right. It's like saying we're members of the same nerd fraternity or something. I mean, it's just not the kind of thing you readily
like
admit.
Literal juggling.
And Matt was good.
But I was a kid, so I had an excuse. But Tom was a grown man.
I was in my early 20s.
In the park. So, you know, it was age-appropriate behavior for me. For Tom, not so much. But, you know.
Jugglers reunited in Juno.
Yeah. But I don't
That's what should have been the show name.
Right, after all these years.
So, yeah, all these years we had a single degree of separation that finally got connected at a cocktail party. And it was like, whoa, I know this guy from way back. And so we started a conversation and found out he took those juggling busker skills and became a comedian. And so we invited him up and he was like, I'm all over it. So there you go.
Wow. Well, welcome up from Denver, Colorado. Is that right, Matt?
Yeah, it is. It's very great to be here.
It's great to have you here. I was watching your TEDx talk today, which, by the way, I've embedded on today's post for Juno Afternoon. If you want to go to ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, you can watch that. It's such an interesting combination of comedy and messaging about mental health awareness. Tell us about yourself and what you're all about.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, so as Tom said, you know, I started performing when I was in like fourth grade. I was in this, you know, ridiculous juggling act called Perpetual Motion. And then as I went through school, kind of had, you know, these parallel lives, you know. So I went to, you know, school and got a degree in public health and, you know, was working at the university. But then I also started doing stand-up on the side. And so, you know, it worked out great because I was a state employee. So I had lots of vacation and I could leave on the weekends, go do shows and work the road and then, you know, come back to the day job during the week and, you know, sort of quasi held that together, you know, for a number of years. But eventually, you know, I was like a lot of comedians. I was dealing with my own, you know, mental demons. And finally, you know, it always wins. So, you know, it caught up with me and my life just really, really fell apart. So I ended up eventually making a suicide attempt. And then I decided, you know, it's time to take this seriously and really figure out what's going on with me and get a diagnosis and take it seriously. So so I walked away from comedy. And, you know, so it was really great when Crystal and Tom called and asked if I would come and, you know, dust off the jokes and come back and do it one more time.
Yeah.
Among the lines that stuck with me, you say there's a difference between funny and being happy.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, and I think if you talk to you know, most stand-up comedians will agree with that statement, you know, that, you know, comedians, incredibly funny people, and there's just an awful lot of pain and misery that comes from that. You know, I when you talk to comedians, I swear to God, like all of them are either from the end of a big family or from a really messed up childhood or both. And so, you know, very often it just comes from a place of pain, and people use comedy to mask it and cover it up, and you know it's really too bad because as a comedian, people don't really ask if you're okay because they just assume they're funny, so they must be doing just fine.
I mean, you mentioned that you crushed like these three nights in a row, and that's when you hit rock bottom after three great events. Is that right?
It's exactly right. You know, and there were so many nights, you know, where you would. I'd be on stage and you're just killing it and, you know, have the audience eating out of your hand and then, you know, crying on the drive home. And, you know, it's just such a detachment, you know, when you're saying the lines and telling the jokes but it's like you're not even present. And in some respects, it even makes it worse because you think, God, if only they knew, you know, and here they are laughing and they have no idea, you know, just how much turmoil I'm in on the inside, which made it a lot harder.
Tell us about the institution that you started and run now.
So I have been at the University of Colorado for about 22 years, and I worked for a long time running an outpatient mental health practice. And I saw what was happening to patients there was, you know, parallel to my own experience where you had people who would call when they got really sick and say, I need to get in right away because, you know, I'm super depressed or, you know, I'm feeling suicidal. And there's just not capacity in the system. And so I would always have to be the one to tell, you know, these families, and it's great that you want to get help, but we've got a 4-month wait list. And, you know, you can imagine what that's like for people. And we would never put up with that with any other condition. Like, oh, you need, you know, heart surgery. Well, it's going to be 4 months. And we wouldn't put up with it. But mental health, we do. And so finally, I just got fed up and, you know, raised money to start a new center to figure out how we can bring new ideas and new thinking into mental health. Because it really is, you know, it's kind of hasn't changed much in the last 70 years in terms of how we approach mental illness and how we treat it. We've had some breakthroughs, but we really wanted to, you know, kind of turn the status quo on its head and bring in a lot of new ideas.
Interesting. Let's get to those just here in a second. Tom, thinking about tomorrow night, how are you going to juggle all these talented individuals that are involved? Tell us who they are and what it's going to look like.
Yeah. So we've got so this is the fourth year that I've been involved with Comedy for a Cause. And it really the whole idea was to gather people no matter what if they could try to make you smile or laugh. And so we've got coming back. For repeat performances, Roblin Gray Davis, who brought the house down last year with the Umbrella Man, which was absolutely incredible. Once again, for multiple years in a row, we're going to get back Phoebe Rohrabacher. She's coming back from Fairbanks. And if you don't know Phoebe, she's one of the funniest storytellers you will ever meet. Andy Miller. Andy Miller, if you haven't heard Andy, he writes and plays send-up songs on the piano about local events, and they are funny as heck. He is a very low-key guy, but he can bring down the house. And we got a newcomer, Jim Wildman Fitzer. He is a storyteller, relatively recent in town. He did a Mudrooms performance not too long ago, and because of that story that he told, he is now known as Jim Wildman Fitzer. And I am going to be the first time I'm going to try to do something a little bit more comedic, which is outside my comfort zone. So I'm going to do a little thing and see how it goes.
Just remember that if the MC sucks, the whole show
sucks.
Yeah, I know.
I got pressure. I got to open for this guy. So, but one of the things that Crystal didn't mention is that alcohol is served at this event. Okay. So,
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Tom Cosgrove, Matt Vogel, and Crystal Borland about tomorrow night's Comedy for a Cause. Doors open at 6:30. The program starts at 7. Is that right, Crystal?
That's right. We have a silent auction, so get there early if you want to look at all the goods. We had some great businesses in town donate this year, so we're excited about the generosity of our local businesses. We'll have a no-host beer and wine. We'll have a popcorn bar. I just had a lot of fun going out and picking out the toppings, so that's exciting. The tickets are $20. And they're online still through the Vendini Jack box office, or you can buy them at the door tomorrow night.
Okay. Sounds like
a very fun year. How many people did we have come out?
We're usually hovering around 200 for the event. Yeah.
So it's a good crowd. So
I bet. Lots of laughing. Back to you, Matt, for a minute. You have a connection in Alaska too, right?
Yeah. So we started working up here about a year ago with the Department of Corrections over in Anchorage and down in Seward and doing some virtual reality with some of the inmates there. And also, you know, doing it really for two things. One is, you know, helping some of these guys in the dark winter months be able to meditate using VR. So instead of, you know, being in the dark and the cold, you know, being able to put on a VR headset so that you can go, you know, sit in the woods or somewhere beautiful and sunny. And the idea there was to see if we can lower aggression in those winter months where a lot of the violent activity spikes in the prisons. And then the other area is to use virtual reality to help people who are getting ready to be released be able to practice life skills that they need on the outside. So things like, you know, crossing a busy street, stuff that we take for granted. But if you've been in prison for 30, 40 years and you get out, you know, that can just be completely overwhelming. Or practicing a job interview or dealing with a boss who's yelling at you. And, you know, these are all things that trip up a lot of these folks, and it's why 75% of people who get released from prison, you know, go right back inside. So a lot of these skills that people need, they're really hard to train. And right now, the only option is for prison staff to do, you know, to do things like role playing, which isn't effective. Nobody likes it. You know, I have yet to meet one person that actually likes role play. And so, you know, it's been really, you know, neat to see, you know, how it's working and that people can, you know, have a more realistic experience.
You know, that I think that's interesting. I think a lot of times we think of things like screen time and VR with maybe a little bit of a negative connotation, but in this case, it's indeed therapeutic and very helpful.
Yeah, and I you're right, and I think that's true of just kind of technology as a whole, that we automatically think, oh, it's, you know, it's to blame for all the bad stuff in the world. But it's really about how you use it, you know, because with virtual reality, there are things that worry us. You know, I wouldn't want a kid to be playing a first-person shooter game in VR for an hour, but it can be incredibly useful and transformative for mental health patients, even just through short, you know, 10-minute experiences and things.
Okay. If we want to follow you, we can watch your TEDx talk.
That's right.
Where's another place that we can find information about your work?
If you go to mentalhealthinnovation.org, there's information about our center and all our different projects.
Okay. I'll link to that as well. That's Matt Vogel. He's one of the comedians and speakers at tomorrow night's Comedy for a Cause. This sounds like a really fun night, everybody.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Is there anything we're missing? Anything that you'd like to add?
I'd love to thank Bartlett Regional Hospital Behavioral Health as well as Rainforest Pediatric Care for sponsoring this event. And we have some other great businesses. We'll be mentioning them tomorrow, and we hope to see you then.
All right. At the Jack's. Doors at 6:30, right?
That's right.
Thanks, everyone.
Come on,
thank you
all.
Thanks, Scott.